pay a lot of attention and have some fun with it over the weekend, and hope that you are able to do so as well. Lots to get to today. Let's look at the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, segment one here in just a few moments. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news of the day, our headline segment, we call it. We'll talk about a new target in the transfer portal, a local target, a guy from Harrison County, just to our west here in our main listening area of Clark and Floyd County. So an interesting name, a local name, a name that you're probably going to recognize or remember, and we'll tell you about that coming up here in just a few moments. Also, Scott Dolson made some very interesting comments a little earlier this week about his decision to retain Mike Woodson and come out with I guess not a public statement, but kind of leak it to the media that he was coming back for a fourth season next year. I want to mention that today on the show, and plenty of other things that we'll get to coming up here in just a bit. Also, probably the biggest news of the day is that yesterday the Big Ten announced the home and away opponents for the 2024-25 college basketball season. So we now know for next year already who Indiana will play at home only, who they will play on the road only, and who they will play home and away. Of course, one of those is Purdue. It's a protected rivalry in the Big Ten Conference, as it should be, but we'll tell you more about that here in the opening segment as well. Also, later in the show on Thursdays, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall joins us. We catch up on IU basketball with him. Transfer portal, recruiting, roster for next season. Take a look at the Big Ten schedule. We don't know the dates or any of those details, and don't need to know in the early part of May. It's still way, way off. But we'll talk about what the Big Ten could look like for Indiana now that we know at least who Indiana's going to play next season once and twice. And so Alex will cover that and more with us a little bit later in the show. Also, Thursdays, we have Steve Kerberg with us. Steve is a former head high school basketball coach in the area, and he joins on Thursday. We talk a lot of basketball, might even get into the NBA playoffs a little bit today, but we'll talk a little bit about this new transfer portal prospect for Indiana. I know Steve is very familiar with him as well, so Coach Kerberg, a great friend of the program, coming up a little bit later in the show today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today. They've got great sandwiches and soups and salads that are all made fresh daily. Surely they'll help you find something to satisfy your craving. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. Always love to hear from you. That number is 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. You can send in your questions and comments to us on the Thornton's text line, and sign up today for the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards Program. You can download the app and receive 25 cents off per gallon, plus great weekly fuel offers that you just can't pass up. Download the app today on the App Store or on Google Play. Just search for Thornton's Refreshing Rewards, and you'll find the app there. Let's get into some headlines for today. A summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Indiana in the Big Ten Conference next season, at home at Assembly Hall, playing these teams one time: Illinois, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Rutgers, UCLA, and USC. So two newbies to the Big Ten Conference, UCLA and USC, will travel to Bloomington all the way from out west for the upcoming season. The following teams are one-time opponents and all-away games for Indiana: Iowa, Michigan State, Nebraska, Northwestern, Oregon, Washington, and Wisconsin. So again, Oregon and Washington, two new teams to the conference. Indiana playing them on the road. They'll have to travel out west for those games. And again, UCLA and USC coming to Indiana. So a good balance there on a West Coast swing. I've got to believe, I would assume, that you would play at Oregon and at Washington in the same trip. Or likewise, UCLA and USC will play another Midwestern opponent when they're out this way. You've got to believe. But can you imagine being UCLA, USC, Washington, Oregon, having to travel to the middle or even the eastern part of the country on a more regular basis? Got to be hard. I know it happens in sports. I know everybody has their own airplanes now, charter flights, and you can get in and out of games quickly. But I just can't imagine coming all the way to the Midwest or beyond from the West Coast, basically, for every single road game. It's just amazing. But that's college sports, and that's the new Big Ten Conference. And the Big Ten Conference, as far as I'm concerned, along with the SEC, right now is leading the pack in a big way. So home and away games, these are the big ones. The two-time opponents in one season, obviously Purdue is one of those three. That's kind of a protected game on the IU and Purdue schedules each year. So Indiana will play at Assembly Hall and at Mackey Arena. The other two home and away opponents, Ohio State is one, and Penn State is also one. So those are the draw of teams that Indiana will play twice next season. One other thing to mention is that due to conference expansion, the Big Ten tournament will increase from 14 to 15 teams, but the bottom three teams in the Big Ten regular season standings will be entirely left out of the tournament. And I absolutely hate that, because no matter what season Indiana or any other conference school has, you have a little bit of hope if you're a fan. You know, think about Indiana this past year. Things were going really bad. People were calling for Mike Woodson's head. Recruiting was not going well. There was not much going at all good for Indiana, but the Hoosiers got hot at the end. They went on, what, a 4 or 5 game winning streak, and maybe offered a little bit of hope going into the Big Ten tournament, but you know what? Maybe they could get to Friday. Maybe they could get to Saturday. Maybe somehow they could, if Purdue were to get knocked off, maybe they could win this thing. I felt that. I think most fans probably did. You get a little hopeful for your team, for the team that you cover, for the team that you follow. So I just hate the no, there's going to be teams not in the tournament. I mean, think about the North Carolina State run out of the ACC. You can go back in the history of the NCAA tournament and point to multiple teams, whether they're high major teams that only got in because they upset multiple schools to win their own conference tournament, or mid-major teams that would have never gotten in had they not won their conference tournament. It just stinks for people to not have a chance at all. And that's what's going to happen in this new Big Ten Conference. Three teams at the end of the year are going to be done and won't even get a chance to travel to the Big Ten tournament. That's probably the thing I hate about this expansion the most. There's probably a lot of good things: television rights, money, preparing the Big Ten Conference for the future, maybe preparing the Big Ten Conference to bring in Notre Dame. I think that could happen down the road a bit. But one of the bad things is conference tournament. I just don't like how it's going to be structured. So just a personal thought there. Also interesting, Scott Dolson, earlier this week, he was on the Hoosier Hysterics podcast, and he had some interesting things to say about how the Mike Woodson deal was handled near the end of the regular season, when Indiana really didn't have much to say about Mike Woodson, but did leak it out that you know, he was going to return for the next season. So there was no formal statement or anything like that. But again, one of those things that finds its way out to some of the key members of the media that can then report it and pass it along. But Dolson said that, quote, if at some point — this is talking about Mike Woodson and his future — he said, quote, if at some point, if I don't feel, just like we did in football, that we have a chance to meet those expectations, then we'll make a change and walk up to those changes. But to kind of have frequent updates throughout the season when we have a tough loss would only, in my view, hurt the program rather than help it, because people will just parse apart and try to say, well, I don't know, he wasn't as strong on Woody as I thought he'd be. I'm not sure he supports Woody. Dolson went on to say, quote, well, if Woody's our coach, trust me, I support Woody 100%. If our coach is here, he has 1,000% support from me and our athletic department to put them in a position to win. So, obviously, strong words on Dolson for next season. I agree with him. You can't come out in this world today and comment after every tough loss or every big win a status update on a coach whose potential status for the next season might be up in the air. It's just not the professional thing. It's not the right thing to do. It's what a lot of people would like you to do, so the fans can get on social networks and discussion forums and that kind of stuff, and again, parse apart every word that he says and critique the coaching staff every which way they can. But if you're going to be professional, that's not the way to do it. So kudos to Dolson for having the comments that he had. He's rolling with Coach Woodson. I think there's reason to believe in Coach Woodson. Golly, he's been able to recruit to a great level, and the transfer portal has been really, really good for him. And don't forget, NBA development has been one of his big things, and that is so important for some of these big-name players, these highly talented guys in college basketball these days. Woodson's NBA background, and he's got proof in the pudding since he's been in the college game with Trayce Jackson-Davis, Jalen Hood-Schifino. Kel'el Ware is going to get added to that list. There's no question about that when the June NBA draft gets here. So, you know, hopeful for Woodson. I think most fans are. No reason not to be after reeling in right now what is considered by most one of the best, if not the best, portal class in the country. I think Kansas is right there behind Indiana as far as a really good portal class. But reason to be hopeful. And nice to see Scott Dolson come out and be fourth on where Woody stands and what things could be like for next season. Also, very interesting here, transfer portal. Indiana, a couple spots left. I think I said yesterday they only had one spot left. I was wrong. They have two. But we mentioned Alex Hemingway from Castle as a possibility, a great shooter that would really add to the addition of Luke Goody and help Indiana maybe spread the floor some. Haven't really seen many updates on that. Don't know where the Hemingway recruitment out of the portal stands. But one new name is Langdon Hatton from North Harrison. You might remember Steve Hatton, his father, a great basketball player, former coach in the area as well. But big Langdon, he is 6'10", 240 pounds. He started all 31 games last season for Bellarmine and averaged 10.5 points, 7.1 rebounds, and he played 27.8 minutes per game. He was 48% from the field, including 33.3% from three-point range, and he had 24 blocks total on the season. He's originally from Georgetown, Indiana, obviously went to North Harrison and played at William & Mary before he entered the portal and went to Scott Davenport and the Bellarmine program. And I felt like from the moment he entered the portal, leaving William & Mary, Hatton would be a great addition to Bellarmine. And he was. There's no question about it. But it's clear now that he has aspirations to play higher. And based on his stats and performance last year, no reason to believe he can't be an effective player at a little bit higher level. So who's he hearing from? Indiana, one of those schools, Cincinnati, Xavier, St. Louis, Notre Dame, Western Kentucky, and many, many other schools. Minnesota, Ohio State from the Big Ten Conference also involved. And Louisville and new coach Pat Kelsey have jumped in on Hatton as well. So it sounds like a decision could be forthcoming in the very near future. Sounds like Indiana does have a spot at the table, a legitimate chance maybe to reel in Hatton, and we'll see how it plays out. But what a neat connection that would be to see a Southern Indiana player get a chance to join some already there. Anthony Leal obviously comes to mind first. Trey Galloway, not really from Southern Indiana, but we claim him as a Hoosier native, that's for sure. And it would be neat to see Hatton go to Indiana and see if he can fill one of those, I don't want to say less important positions for the roster next season, because, I've said Goody is going to be huge for Indiana next year, and he definitely is not one of the more appealing as far as transfer portal rankings go players that Indiana has brought in. But Hatton would be a very solid addition along with Goody, and perhaps Hemingway too, who knows, with everyone else that Mike Woodson has landed in for next season. A couple other things to mention. I talked yesterday about the TBT, the $1 million basketball tournament. There will be an Indiana team in the tournament next year, this summer, I should say, that will try to compete for $1 million. The name of the team is Assembly Ball, kind of playing off the Assembly Hall name of the famous gym, the famous arena on the campus of Indiana University. And so far, Troy Williams, Miller Kopp, and Jawan Morgan have been announced as some of the key players on the roster. Additional players and a full roster is going to be announced in the coming days. But those are some good starting players for this Assembly Ball TBT roster. And we also know now that the Assembly Ball TBT team is going to play at Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. There's going to be a regional there, a regional for the TBT at Freedom Hall in Louisville, and a regional also in Lexington, Kentucky. I don't know the location for that offhand, but how about that? Hinkle Fieldhouse, I don't care if it's full to the rafters or if there's hardly anybody there. There'll be people there for sure, but what a great place to play something like this for a regional. And kudos to everybody getting Hinkle Fieldhouse involved, number one, and also getting finally a Indiana TBT team together for the tournament. It's going to be a lot of fun to have something to follow here from an IU angle this coming summer. Also, women's basketball, a couple notes to mention. Allie Patberg has been bumped up to a assistant coach. She was kind of an assistant coach slash team and recruiting coordinator last season from the time that she has joined the staff, but now she's a full-time assistant coach. And another former IU player like Patberg, her name is Kiana Warthen. She is going to take Patberg's former role as IU team and recruitment coordinator along with assistant coach. So there's some news on the women's side after the departure last week of Amber Smith, who was only at the Indiana program for one season last year. That's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with Alex Bozich inside the hall, the latest on the transfer portal and more. And still ahead also today, Coach Steve Kerberg. We'll talk some basketball with him a little bit later in the hour. Don't forget tonight, the Pacers with a big game. If you're a Pacers fan or you're kind of getting into the NBA playoffs as I am tonight, the Pacers can win it. They're up 3-2 in the series over the Milwaukee Bucks. It's a 6:30 tip-off, thank God, instead of a late 9:30 tip-off like it was in Milwaukee the other night. But let's see if Indiana can get it done. The Bucks, the 3 seed, the Pacers, the 6 seed. This would be a humongous win and series win for Indiana as they get some momentum, potentially moving on in the playoffs. It'll be a tough out tonight. The Bucks will be. And, of course, it goes back to Milwaukee if the Bucks win for the next game coming up on Saturday. So the Pacers really need to try to get this done tonight if they are going to win this series and move on to the next round of the playoffs. We'll head to a break. We're back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. We're back on this Thursday edition of the show. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, my guest. We talk IU basketball in depth each Thursday when Alex is with us here on the program. And Alex, it's just now the month of May. I know all the focus locally is on the Kentucky Derby, but yesterday we already have the Big Ten assignments as far as who Indiana will play at home, who they will play away, and the 3 series where they'll play a home and away game. Of course, Purdue always going to be one of those. What's your take? I went through each opponent in the first segment today. What's your take on the layout, at least, of who Indiana's going to play twice at home, on the road, the whole deal for next year?
Yeah, how you doing today, Matt? Good to talk to you, as always. You know, the schedule thing is always an interesting announcement in terms of just finding out the single and double plays, but I think it's even more interesting now with the 18 teams in the Big Ten, and I think we've talked about this before. I'm just a little curious in terms of the equity, in terms of the schedules, and how we're going to determine a regular season champion when you've basically got all these teams just playing each other once, aside from 3 matchups. But in terms of the Indiana specific draw, you know, I thought it was pretty favorable. They have a lot of good home-only opponents. Obviously, you're going to get Purdue twice, and I think Ohio State and Penn State were the other two that they're going to play twice, so not too bad of a draw there either. Obviously, Ohio State makes some sense with the regional, you know, being close to them. You know, the interesting thing for me to kind of watch how it's all going to be handled is going to be this West Coast trip. I think, based on my understanding of it, I don't think they've said this for sure, but it seems to me like Indiana's probably going to play Oregon and Washington like on a back-to-back, kind of like a road trip type of deal, where they're going to go out there and play both games so they don't have to make 2 trips west. I think that's how a lot of this is going to work. Now, that's why, to my understanding, if you look at the pairings, like a lot of teams will get got like USC and UCLA, and then everyone else got Oregon and Washington. So I think that's how they're going to try to manage some of the travel aspect of this. That's just my understanding of how it's going to work. We'll have to see formal details when it comes out. But all in all, I think it's a good schedule for Indiana. It's always hard to say right now this time of year, like which teams you'd want to play twice, which teams you'd only want to play once, home and away, because we don't know the roster for sure. You know, I've started actually published something today on Inside the Hall where I've kind of gone through every Big Ten school and published what their roster is as of today, which is obviously going to change here in the next week, coming months. But overall, I think they got a pretty nice setup, and it'll be weird to have UCLA and USC coming to Bloomington for Big Ten games. But welcome to the new Big Ten in 2024-25. Got 18 teams, and should be another interesting conference season.
Absolutely. You know, for Indiana to go out west and play two games on one swing and come back, you know, probably not ideal. We got to remember their students as well, but it works. You know, it's not the end of the world. It's happened before. It's no big deal. But I just struggle to see what it's going to be like for UCLA, USC, Washington, and Oregon on a regular basis to have to come to the Midwest, the middle part of the country, or even further at times, and go to the East Coast. And with jets and personal planes and chartered flights and all the stuff that's out there that these schools can handle nowadays, primarily because of television money, I know that's going to make things a little bit easier and get them in and out quicker, but I just can't imagine what a full season of that will look like for those four schools.
Yeah, I think they'll probably try to do some of the same things with those schools, so they're not, like I said, this is just kind of me speculating, but just kind of looking at the schedule and seeing what they did with kind of pairing those schools together, it makes me think that one way they're going to try to navigate this is to do it where you're going to go on, and I think from a schedule making perspective, it's probably going to be pretty hard to set all this up. I don't envy the person that's going to have to map all this out. But like if you're Oregon and Washington, wouldn't you rather just take like five road trips and play two games on each rather than trying to go back and forth, you know, 10 times to the East Coast or the Midwest? I think it makes sense. Like, so if, I don't have the schedules in front of me, but let's say Oregon's going to play Indiana and Ohio State. Wouldn't it make sense for them to just go to Indiana and Ohio State in one trip, play those couple of games, with some days between them, rather than trying to fly east and then come all the way back and then the next week go back out there? So I think that's probably how it's going to work to the best of their ability. I'm not saying that it's going to be perfect, and I don't think there's really a perfect way to do any of this, but it's going to obviously be much easier on the teams in the natural geographic area, as you mentioned. I mean, Indiana, if they just have to go west one time, that's a lot different than Oregon having to come, you know, to the Midwest, or, you know, depending on where they're going, Nebraska, or all the way to the East Coast, having to play teams like Rutgers and Maryland. That's going to be a chore. But you also have to keep in mind, you know, these guys are flying on private planes, and you know, I don't think it's going to be anything more than, 3.5-4 hour flight coming all the way to the East Coast and going to the West Coast. So not too bad. Obviously, the time change has something to do with it. The other thing that we haven't talked about is what time are some of these games going to start, particularly on the West Coast? I mean, we're used to, you know, from a coverage perspective, and I know you talking to, you like to watch the games too, and you have to get up and go to work the next day. Are we going to be having Indiana at Oregon at 10:30 p.m. on Fox? Is it going to be 10 p.m.? Is it going to move the games earlier? That's a whole other thing that we haven't really discussed too much. That'll be interesting to see. I think usually in September, October is when we start to kind of learn the schedule and tip time. So that'll be another thing that have to take some getting used to, because I imagine there's probably going to be some fairly late tips for those West Coast Big Ten games.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. He is with us Thursdays here on the show. Alex, I know we've already been through this. I mentioned it earlier today, and I'll mention it one more time with you. The big thing I don't like right out of the gate with this new Big Ten Conference is the tournament. I just do not like the fact that not all schools will get into the tournament. I understand as the conference grows, you know, more games make it difficult from a television perspective, just the number of days that the tournament has to last as well. But, man, what a bummer if you're one of the bottom three teams in the conference and you've had a rough go of it, but maybe you've got hope, or you've find a way to make a little run and close the season with some momentum. But those bottom three teams in league play, they're not going to get that experience starting next season.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. I understand why it had to be this way, just because, one, there's really, it's hard enough to kind of do the bracket with 14 teams. I know the ACC, I think, had 15, so they had like an extra game in there. Basically, they could have the same length of tournament the Big Ten used to have, but they're adding some teams as well. It's not ideal, but also I don't necessarily think you want to have a Big Ten tournament that starts on a Tuesday and goes to a Sunday. That's 6 days to fit those other three teams in, and I think with this, with the bracketing stuff, it becomes more difficult. But I agree with you. I mean, I kind of expressed that sentiment on social media when this all came about, and people were kind of pushing back, well, how many times has the bottom team actually advanced and won? That's really not the point of what I was trying to get across, and probably you feel the same way. It's more of just having the opportunity. To me, if it's a conference tournament, you include every team in the conference, whether or not they're 0-20 or 20-0, because it's a way to kind of bring everybody together and play a tournament and see, as you said, you could have had a really bad season and really fallen on some hard times. You could have injuries and have somebody back and give yourself a chance to maybe not make the NCAA tournament, but make the NIT or something like that. I mean, these are the kind of things that I think really suffer, not just the travel, but the conference tournament I think is going to suffer some based on this expansion. I understand, obviously, the expansion, why it had to be done, the money involved, and how it's really beneficial to a program like Indiana, because you get all this TV revenue coming in, and it can really help you upgrade your facilities, pay your coaches more, provide better opportunities for your players. But yeah, I just hate to see a situation where you don't even have a chance. The point of the conference tournament is to determine who's going to get your automatic bid. So to me, everyone should have a chance to do that, whether or not you had a bad season or not. You're at least giving yourself a chance to get in, and that's just not going to be the case anymore.
No question about it. And Texter says, case in point, North Carolina State. Thank you, Texter. Right. I mentioned that in the opening segment today. They are a great example of a team that got hot at the right time. In fact, they kind of closed the regular season like Indiana did, getting hot to finish off the regular season, and then that rolled over into the conference tournament. But definitely will miss that as far as the Big Ten tournament goes. Alex, want to get into the story you mentioned at Inside the Hall. It's a great guide of who is coming and going in the Big Ten Conference for next season. The transfer portal is now officially closed. Players can still commit to a school, but obviously you can no longer enter the transfer portal at this point and be eligible for next season. So still some movement, still some big names yet to make a decision, yet to make an announcement. You put together this wonderful guide going through all the Big Ten Conference teams. Also, it's really helpful for me because I don't know anything about UCLA and USC and the West Coast teams that are coming into the conference. But after putting all this together and pulling all these names together and doing the research, at first glance, what's your take on the Big Ten for next year?
Well, it's hard to say because there's a lot of schools that still have a lot of empty spots. I mean, there's, Indiana's still got two. There's schools that have three or four spots, or maybe even one was, not sure exactly how many spots Washington has. I know they had a coaching change. They may have five. I'd have to go back and double check, but I know they have at least four. So there's schools still with openings to fill, but I don't see that powerful number one type of team that they had last year in Purdue. Obviously, Purdue was head and shoulders above the rest in the Big Ten, a number one seed, made it to the national championship game. I don't see that type of team. I do see some good depth in terms of potential top 25 teams. I put Indiana in that category. I think a lot of these early preseason top 25s that you're seeing pop up right now, the Hoosiers are right in line there. I think Purdue is obviously going to be a really strong team. Again, obviously, some question marks in terms of what happens with all that production that Zach Edey gave them, how do they play moving forward. But I think you and I both have the kind of same opinion on Matt Painter, which is don't bet against Matt Painter because he's a good coach and he'll figure out what to do. Ohio State's another team that I really like what they've done this offseason, bringing in Meechie Johnson, and I think Aaron Bradshaw from Kentucky is obviously a former McDonald's All-American that'll give them a boost. He got off to a really slow start last year due to an injury, and I think he'll be a lot better. you know, Michigan's another team that I think has a chance to be a tournament team next year. They're obviously going to be under first-year head coach there in Dusty May, but I think they've done a lot of good work in the portal. UCLA is another team. I think they had a really tough year last year, but bringing back some solid pieces and have done some work in the transfer portal. So I think the depth of the conference is going to be outstanding from top to bottom. There's obviously going to be some teams at the bottom. Like I mentioned, Washington, I think, is going to have some struggles next year just based on the roster turnover and getting that thing back up to speed. Not to say they don't have some talent, but I think they're going to have a tough sledding. Minnesota is another team that's really been hit hard by the portal, and I kind of wonder how that situation is going to pan out. But I still think there's not going to be too many off nights in the Big Ten next year. There's going to be a lot of teams with good talent. Like I said, maybe not that super team that we look at as a national championship contender, but I think it'll be another strong year, another compelling year in the Big Ten, especially with this unbalanced conference schedule. You know, that starts to matter more and more. The more teams you add, the more it matters how many, road-only, home-only plays that you have. I mean, those one or two games can really make a difference when it's all said and done.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Alex, final thing I want to ask you about, the new transfer portal prospect here coming in late for Indiana is Langdon Hatton, a local product from North Harrison High School. Had a great career, went to William & Mary out of high school, then transferred to Bellarmine and had an outstanding season there, playing for Scotty Davenport this past season. Indiana, Ohio State, Louisville, others making an interest in him. Any insight on where things stand with him, and could he maybe be a late addition here? I don't know that we're really late. It's still plenty of time to develop rosters for next season, but could he be the latest addition maybe for Indiana next year?
Yeah, I mean, he's a name that obviously, you know, I was thinking about it a couple of days ago when I started to see some of the schools that were contacting him, and then obviously Travis Branham of 24/7 Sports yesterday reporting that Indiana had been in contact. Now, as we've seen through this transfer portal process, contact does not necessarily lead to commitment or even a visit, but I think he makes some sense being an Indiana kid, being a big guy, and also the role that is actually there to fill. You know, I think it's become a little bit harder now for Indiana to get guys to seriously consider taking one of those last two spots, because you don't have to be a genius to look at the roster and say, where are my minutes going to come from? I mean, they really need a backup big guy, but what's the role? I mean, it's probably realistic 10 to 12 minutes a game at the most. So you got to find a player that's willing to fit that role. You know, if Hatton is a guy that's going to go up to the high major level, I think that's probably his ceiling. You know, I don't see him as a guy that's starting in the Big Ten or another Power Five league, but if he wants to come up a level and be a backup, I think he'd be a guy you definitely, you know, look at and say, how can he help us? I like the fact that he can step out and make an occasional perimeter shot. Obviously a skilled guy, not obviously an explosive athlete by any means, but I think a guy that can definitely help. So I think those are the kind of names you're going to continue to see pop up here as the portal moves along. But it's definitely, I think, a little bit harder at this point for Indiana to get guys to visit and seriously consider a spot, because if you're being offered a chance to start somewhere else or have a bigger role, I mean, you got to balance that against potential NIL opportunities, obviously. But if you're a player that really wants to play a lot, I don't think Indiana at this point is going to be able to offer you much more than a backup or fringe rotation role going forward.
Absolutely makes sense. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, with us Thursdays on the show. Check out InsideTheHall.com, at Inside the Hall on social media. His piece on the Big Ten for next season is packed with great information and definitely something you want to check out. Alex, thank you. Enjoy Derby weekend, and we'll talk next week.
All right, absolutely, Matt. Thank you. Have a good weekend, too, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Alex Bozich, always one of our mainstays here on the show. We'll head to a quick break. We're back with Coach Steve Kerberg. We'll talk some high school basketball and more as we wrap up this Thurby episode of the Hoosier Report. If you're at the track or headed to the track, good luck. I've talked to a number of friends that are there or headed that way a little bit later this afternoon. Good luck to you. I don't have much luck with the horses. They're beautiful and fun to be there, but not much of a gambler when it comes to the horses. We'll head to a break. We're back with more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Kraft Sporting Goods is Southern Indiana's team sports specialist.
All right, we're back. Final segment of this Thursday show. Steve Kerberg, former head high school basketball coach in the area. He joins me on Thursdays. We talk a lot of things, basketball and more. And Steve, a number of things I want to get your input on here today. First off, I was talking with Alex Bozich in the last segment about Langdon Hatton, a great player at North Harrison. Big basketball family, really, in the area over the years. His sister, a great player. Father, a great player. Comes from a very sports-minded family. Kind of neat to see him in the fold, maybe, to be a Big Ten or an IU player for next season. It's how the transfer portal works. If you go to the mid-major level, a program like Bellarmine, and you have some success, you set yourself up to move up the ladder if that's what you want to do.
Just we're all kind of learning as we go on how it works, and yeah, absolutely, just really cool situation with a local player, a basketball family in our area, a great family. I'm excited to hear that news myself.
You recall much about Big Hatton as a player, 6'10" player at North Harrison. They had some great years there with Hatton as a star and some other really good players to go with him as well. But do you recall anything that you can draw on from his high school days that stands out to you?
No, I got to see him a few times play, but he's physical, skilled, fundamental. Got to see him a couple times at Bellarmine, and I think he's just a really great player with a high IQ. Physical, a good finishing moves around the rim. He's a talented player.
Steve Kerberg with me on Thursdays talking a lot of basketball when Coach Kerberg joins the program. Excited that Indiana, it looks like, finally is going to have a TBT team that's going to play for $1 million this year. As the basketball season, at least the college and high school seasons, are over. I know NBA's still out there, but it's just not the same. So I know you and I look forward to the summer leagues and the different things out there to help bridge the gap between basketball seasons and the fact that Indiana's going to have an alumni team. Hinkle Fieldhouse will be a regional site. Louisville's going to have one. Bellarmine, I understand Braden Hobbs is going to play and help lead the Bellarmine team. They're going to play at Freedom Hall. Should be even more fun to follow the TBT this offseason.
Absolutely. Those are fun to watch, but the one I'll be most excited about is, like you said, the Bellarmine team with Braden Hobbs. I'm hearing that a good friend of mine and yours, Jeremy Kendall, might be coming all the way from Australia to be a part of that team also.
Oh, that's great.
That was my first year coaching at Jeffersonville back in 2006, and I might have heard also that Antonio Ballard might be playing on that team too, a former Jeffersonville player, but I don't know that for sure, but I think I saw that. But yeah, Jeremy has been playing professional basketball in Australia and all over the world since he graduated from Bellarmine after him and Braden won a national championship there. I believe they were both All-Americans there. That'll be the team that I'll be keeping the closest eye on because of our connections locally there. But what a cool concept, and what a great opportunity to see, to connect with these former players who are part of the programs that we love.
Absolutely. Talking with Steve Kerberg, a little basketball each Thursday when he joins the show. Coach, I don't want to put you on the spot or anything, but someone asked me, said, please ask Coach Kerberg his thoughts on the next high school basketball season. Does he feel like Jeffersonville can compete for a state championship? And Coach, I hate to ever represent you. I know we're good friends and go back many years and agree on a lot of stuff, but I said, I'm going to speak for him here. I think Coach Kerberg does believe in Sharon Wilkerson and this Jeffersonville team for next season. But I'll let you answer that yourself. Is Jeff a 4A state championship contender next season?
Well, I got to watch some of those guys last night in the ERA game that I went to up at Scottsburg, and I was very, very impressed with those guys, seeing them live. I've got to see them during the season, obviously, but just the talent that those, especially the big three guys that they have there, man, Trey and PJ and Michael, those guys are so talented. And then I feel like a broken record saying it, but I truly mean it. The job that Coach Wilkerson and his staff have done with the program, and they got to play against the best of the best this past season, even down the stretch, you know, in the tournament with a chance to get to the finals. But I mean, that if that doesn't tell you that they can cut down nets next year, I mean, they had a real chance to do it this year with most of those guys returning. And man, those guys are putting in a lot of work in the off season. They're putting in a lot of work in the weight room and individual workouts. And I was impressed with their ability watching them live last night.
Steve Kerberg with me on Thursday. Coach, NBA tonight, Pacers, Bucks. You got a pick for us in that game. Can the Pacers win the series at home tonight?
I'm probably the wrong guy to ask on that, but I would love for the Pacers. It's obviously great for our state, and I know it's been a back and forth series, but I'm probably the wrong guy. I'm rooting for the Pacers, though.
Steve Kerber, Coach, thank you. Always great to catch up. We'll do it again next Thursday.
Hey, thank you, sir. Have a great day.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the show. Be back on Friday. Derby picks, IU transfer portal, a lot more coming your way. We'll have Dylan Wallace and Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star in our Friday edition of the show. And thank you so much for being with us. It's a beautiful day. Hopefully you're on your way to the track. And if not, get outside, enjoy things. And we'll talk tomorrow at 11 a.m. here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.